Our Father, this morning we come before Thee. I pray, O Father, that this great hymn is acceptable to Thee from our lips. I know the words of it are acceptable. I just pray, Father, that again our hearts are right with Thee this morning, cleansed and free from all worldly cares. And Lord, that we can just come before Thee and let this blessed hymn be our prayer. Just accept us in Christ today and help us to worship You in His Spirit and in the truth. O God, not in any hypocrisy, but O God, in truth and sincerity. Just pray for those that are not with us today. Again, we continue to pray for Sister Joyce. Ask, O God, that You would direct her thoughts and direct her ways and give her peace in the inward man. Lord, help her in the physical means that she might be able to attend our services yet for a while. Just again, pray for Joel and Madel and the children, and Lord, they have their problems this morning. But pray, O Father, that You will bless them in their new endeavor. Thank You for Your goodness to us, and just again, pray for Your blessings upon us. Remembering also those that are in dire straits, whether it be in great persecutions in the body, or Lord, whether they're having spiritual trials, either one or both, Lord, need Your attention and Your loving care and Your abundant grace. Remember especially, our dear sister, in the faith, Marilyn Baxter and her husband, just got word today that he has had a heart attack, and this on top of the fact that our dear sister is still battling this thing of cancer. So it's just a double burden upon her and upon him. Pray for Your blessings upon them and Your healing hand. Pray again for your comfort, for the brother in San Antonio that has lost his wife, and we can't really imagine. You can't really imagine them. What it would be like until that happens to you, but Lord, we can sympathize and know that it's a great burden upon him, a sadness and a sorrow. But give him comfort from what we read, and he is in good spirits and thankful that his wife is a professing Christian, and he can believe and have comfort in the fact that she is with the Lord today. So many others, Lord, that we know of near and far, and just pray for their relief from their cares and sorrows and in their trials. Bless us today. Again, we need You today to comfort and strengthen us, and to uphold us, lift us up in that great spirit of Christ Jesus. We believe in Him and in the blessings that come in His holy name. So thank You for Him, and in Him receive us. Amen. All right, JT, if you come this morning.
Jerry and I already compared teeth, and I'm still sure mine is the worst of the two. Last Sunday, I talked a little about the brazen sea. I don't know if it made any sense or not, and I'm not much better today. I've been thick-headed for a couple of weeks and can hardly think at times. But anyway, I didn't mention it then. I'm sure, I don't know what significance it has, but in the book of 1 Kings, it talks about having 2,000 baths. In 2 Chronicles, he's got 3,000 baths. Maybe it's just nice to know and it's nothing important, maybe, but if it's in the Word of the Lord, it has some kind of significance. When I read back a little more in 1 Kings, there was some work going on that brazen sea. And my thoughts are that by the time it was finished and chronicled, that it had increased in size. There's some talk about four corners, and it was round. And there's talk about some plates, and I could kind of picture it as some bowels and things. And I say, I don't know if it's important. Maybe it is. It does present a progression. Right. Yeah, it had to be just that way. So, anyway, getting that out of the way, I think we'll go to 1 John, the 5th chapter, for a beginning this morning. In verse 5, and it said, "And who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." I made him want to look at verse 6 this morning. We've been talking about the washings, the shedding of blood, the offering up of sacrifice for the sin of man, the atonement. His sins must be atoned before he can enter into the most holy place. And that's what all the washings were about, was to make them clean. Lord come to save his people. But it didn't end there. He said, from their sins must be made clean. But then atonement also must be made for their sins, that it might reconcile them to God. See, God is their enemy, they think. Always been that way. They're mad at it because of the curse that was placed upon them. We see it every day. People don't want to work. I mean, it's all about it. People don't want to work. So, they don't like God. I don't want to get off too far into that, but we see here a changing of the times in these very verses, that Jesus came by water and the blood with washings to make clean, to save his people from their sin, and then offer up the blood, the atoning blood. So we see different dispensations. We were talking the other day about dispensationalism, and it truly there's another dispensation, and it has come, and it is the whole meat of it is in Christ Jesus himself, and times have changed. So we see all these types and ceremonies being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that's what we see here. He came to secure, to save and secure those that are his, that were given him by the Father, so that they might be handed back up in a clean, pure state. Be able to enter into the most holy place. Over in the book of Ezekiel, 46th chapter, I think this has some significance here. It speaks of the same thing, but it's of the ceremonies and the types that are set forth. Here, talking about the gate, we read the whole thing, talking about the gate being shut all week except on the Sabbath. Be open. But then there's other days. He said if a man, if the priest wants to offer up some praise, open the gate toward the east so he can offer that up. But we'll read a little of this, won't go too far into it. I guess verse 12. He said, now when the prince shall prepare a voluntary, Lord, the offering of peace, offering voluntarily unto the Lord, one shall then open the gate that looketh toward the east, and he shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering as he did on the Sabbath day. It's going to be a flowing forth all the time. Go and open the east gate up so he can praise the Lord. Where is he? He's over in the east. That's where he's coming. From the east, as the rising of the sun is a picture of that coming. What are going to offer? Praise. Don't have anything else. We see a picture here earlier, though, of offering up the blood. The slaying of the animal and offering up the blood for the atonement. But then it brings on praise that man might not just do it on Sunday, on the Sabbath. We've saved Sabbath, and some people confused about what that means, but it's to be a continual offering of praise unto the Lord. And we look to the east to his coming, as they did in the old days when they were all sacrifices and ceremonies and offering up those things that were a type and a picture and a measure of those things of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering. What? Not just on the Sabbath. A continual flowing forth of the gospel. That's what our duty today is in the church. Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering unto the Lord of the Lamb of the first year, of the first year, without blemish, thou shalt prepare it every morning. It's a new day. New dawn. That's what I was talking about. We're blessed people. We have come about in our day that we no longer look to types and shadows, but to the true coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall prepare it every morning, and thou shalt prepare meat offering for it every morning. The sixth part of the Nephi. might tell you back in the old law, it was a tenth. So it's more now than was then. The offering is bigger.
Yeah.
And the third part of an hin of oil to temper with the fine flour of meat offering continually by a perpetual ordinance unto the Lord.
Think of praying without ceasing.
Right, yeah. Always going back with a prayer on your heart. Praising the Lord. Verse 15 said, Thus shalt thou prepare the lamb and the meat offering and the oil every morning for a continual burnt offering. But we don't longer have that now, do we? Offering has been made once for all of God's people. I would say all and leave it alone, but need to say a little more for all God's people. Over then in Ezekiel 47 chapter, Paul dealt with this a great deal a while back. He said, afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. We back up in the house. He brought him up there again. And behold, look at this. There's something going on here that's never seen before. Now I might make mention also that in the whole book of Ezekiel, it never is mentioned anymore any brazen sea. No more washing in the same sense. No more laying off the garments and taking on another garment. The type has been fulfilled. The shadow has come. That's where we started. Here he is. He come with water and blood. Here he is. And he said, he brought me to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So he had went in all the way into the holy of holies, and he had turned around. He's looking back toward the east. That's what we saw just a while ago. Back towards the east. When he looked back towards the east, and on the right hand side of the altar, that's where the stream was flowing. On the south side. East, west, north, south. So it was flowing out from under there. I don't know exactly what that has to do with anything either. Except we've never seen this before. It's brand new thing. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, now he's walking back out. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were up to the loins. Boy, this thing's flowing good now. It's flowing out, I think, exactly like the praise that's going to come out through the east gate also. I think it's quite similar. Afterwards, he measured 1,000. It was a river that could not be passed, that could not pass over. The waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Take another look what you see. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. It's going to not only heal all the land, but the sea also, when it flows out. Well, not much could be said about the trees that he saw. They were evergreen. What's that? Pretty evergreen trees all along the river bank, feeding upon this stream that's flowing forth. No more washings and purgings and those things, but the substance of the old law of ordinances was ended in Christ Jesus. The perfection of the law. Not one jot or one tittle should fail till all would be fulfilled. All the way up to the plumb line. Betty said all the ice in the truck. She said all the bang plumb line in. Some of them probably haven't seen it, some of the kids, but they're not here this morning. So maybe we'll do it another day. Show them that. But I'd like to finish up back in Zechariah 13th chapter. I think it's a full picture. Verse 1 said, and in that day, in the day of the Lord, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So it's going to be a cleansing of people. And the Lord came to save his people from their sin.
We don't mean to be critical, I think, but it just keeps pointing out to me the fallacy of thinking that there's going to be another temple built and the sacrifices reinstated, and I don't understand that. Even the thing about reestablishing Jerusalem and the glory of the days of Solomon, for instance, and reestablishing the kingdom, a nation of Israel, as it was in the days of David and Solomon, and even reinstating, bringing back David as the king. It seems to me that's an affront to Christ. Because it's very clear, very plain that Jesus is the one that is even right now sitting upon the throne of David, and David, again, himself was a type of the kingship of Christ. It was never intended to be any king except in those, I don't know how long, what did he reign? 40 years, I think. That was the end of his reign. He died. And you know, Peter says his sepulcher is with us to this day. But Jesus is risen, and he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he's sitting on the throne of David, again, which was a type of that eternal authority and reign of God upon all things. So, you know, it's kind of sad that... And even in Zechariah, all of those things, they're spiritual. I don't want to use the word types. There is another term, and I can't even think of it this morning. But they signify the spiritual. Symbolic, yeah, but that's not the term either that I'm trying to think of. But anyway, you understand what I'm talking about here. They're spiritual.
Yeah.
They're not earthly. They have nothing to do with this world. Nothing to do really with the world to come, except that. Jesus is going to be the temple. There's not going to be any other temple. Revelation is very, very plain and precise about that. There's going to be no other temple. And we're worshiping him all of the time. Hebrews 13 and 13, I guess. Let's go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. This is so significant in itself that it does away with all of that external worship. And we're going to him in another place, in another dispensation, if you will. I'm sorry, JT.
That related to Moses that burned the bush. Didn't that talk to you?
Yeah.
You're at holy ground.
Right, you're on holy ground.
Leave all your other walls for sight.
Yeah. You come out of the world. You come out of the world. And it's not that we're coming out of the world. We have come out of the world. And have entered into, we've been translated into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of our Lord.
Enoch.
Translated. He wasn't seen anymore, was he? And even as the apostle said, though we have known him in the flesh, now know we him no more in the flesh. But it's in the spirit. It's in the spirit of God, the spirit of Jesus himself. So let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of what? Praise to God continually. No. Today is a special day. It has been set aside by God for the express purpose of his worship. But
for his glory and for our good.
Yes. For his glory and for our good. The Sabbath was not, a man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Why do people fight that so? I don't understand that. But all right, I think it would be good, JT, if you'd bring that plumb line and just talk about the exactness, the absolute qualities of God. It just, that there is no left or right with God. There is a left or a right with us, but there's not no left or right with God. It's perfection. It's absolute perfection.